Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey, it's Monique. I hope all is well. Welcome to episode 55 of the Brown Vegan Podcast, where I love to share my experiences with transitioning to a vegan lifestyle and also bring on guests to share theirs. Of course, you know, I know, and you know, and we all know that there's so much power in the story. So sharing your story and connecting with other people is just so important if you want to transition to a vegan lifestyle. You can find out more about what I do and how I do it at brownvegan.com. And also be sure to follow me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you are the most. I am Brown Vegan on all those platforms. So on today's show, I have my girl Nikki, Chef Nikki in the mix. I have her on the show, and she's going to be sharing her experiences, her ideas, and how she was able to transition to a vegan lifestyle in 2016. We actually recorded this podcast episode probably about a month ago, but we had a chance to meet in person this past weekend. We were both working in Toronto, so it was really, really good to be able to connect with her and her boyfriend, Gray. Remember last year? He was the guy with the viral Thanksgiving song about vegan Thanksgiving. So that's her boo. So we talk about how they were able to transition together. We talked about her animal activism, how she does so much with PETA, which is the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. We talk about my experiences with PETA and how they were and her experiences and just the great work that they're able to do in the community. We also talk about what it looks like to be a Black vegan, and not only a Black vegan, but a Black ethical vegan, because a lot of times people do veganism, especially in the Black community, for health reasons, and for us, how we like to do it for a little bit of both, you know, as ethical as well as health reasons. So we talk about that. We really just dive into a lot of her activism, which I think is so important, and she's doing amazing work. She's really, really doing amazing work. So be sure to follow her on social media, Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, for the number four, People, P-P-L, is where she does all her activism. And then Chef Nikki in the Mix is where she does all of her cooking. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right into the conversation with my girl, Nikki Ford. Oh, Nikki, thank you so much for being on the show. What's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course I did. I had to have you on the show because I just love following you on Insta story, love following you on Instagram. We're going to talk about all the good food you're making.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, of course. Before we get into that, though, I want to find out why you decided to become a vegan and what year this was for you.
Okay, so let's start with, I started my vegan transition in 2016. Well, that was last year. So, like 2016, and I stumbled across a video PETA posted on Facebook, and it was like footage in a slaughterhouse and what was happening to cows being snatched away from their mother. And I just started to cry. Like, in that moment, I just broke down, and I'm like, why am I eating meat? And I always call myself an animal lover. And I'm like, okay, so you love animals, but you're eating them. And it's like, no, we can't do this. And I called Gray, my boyfriend, in the car. I was riding in the car. And I called him and I said, Gray, we can't eat meat. Like, I'm on the phone crying. And he's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, I just seen this video. PETA posted a video about what's going on with animals. And he was like, you need to stop watching that stuff. I'm like, no, like, I had to see it because it has hit me to the point where I can no longer eat meat. Like, I can't be part of this. And I said, so we're not eating meat anymore. Like, I'm not cooking it. We're not having it in the house. That's just that. And I stopped in that moment cold turkey.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, because, you know, here's why I think it's like, wow. Because most people, when they see videos like that, they instantly click right out of them. They don't even look at them. So what do you think? Why do you think you kind of stuck around and looked at that? Did you already kind of have a feeling anything about going vegan before that? Or like, how did
you? Yeah, well, I've known. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
I've known a few vegans. And I just thought they were just really boring, and the food they were eating, it didn't seem appetizing to me. It was more a whole bunch of kale, really. They were doing a lot of juicing and eating a lot of kale, and I just didn't really see anything like appetizing about the diet. I didn't really link it to what was happening in a slaughterhouse and what was happening to the animals. I just figured they were on a vegan diet for overall health. Mm-hmm. And I've always been an athlete, so health to me, it wasn't really a big concern. But at the same time, I knew health is important and I should eat to live, not live to eat kind of thing. So when I seen the video from PETA, it just hit me like it was just so sad. And I think in that moment of watching it, I've already known that stuff was going on, but I just turned a blind eye to it. So to just sit there and watch the whole video, like every part of the video was sad. And it just made me cry and break down. So I just knew in that moment, I was like, yeah, I'm done. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to do it because I've tried pescatarian. I've tried going vegetarian, just a whole bunch of different little trendy things that I would try. But I'm like, you know what? I'm just done.
That's it for you.
Nope. Yeah, that was it for me.
Wow. So, okay. For you guys, the people who are listening, Official Gray Music is her boo. And so what did he, okay, in the car, he seemed like he was like, what in the world's going on with you, right? Stop watching this because, look, you messing with my food now.
Right.
So when you got home, like, what did life look like immediately after that, since you decided to do it without really transitioning slowly? How did that look?
Okay, so shout out to Brown Vegan, because I have been following you for years.
Really?
I follow your Target haul when you go shopping at Target, when you would cook and your two sons would be there. Like, I've been following you on YouTube, okay?
So you did kind of have a feeling that you wanted to go vegan then.
Exactly. Yeah. What I'm saying, like, I've seen stuff and I've had friends. I just kind of was like, maybe it didn't hit me enough. Like, I wasn't ready. And that's what it is. I just wasn't ready to commit to it and just face reality and say, Nikki, you're part of what's going on with the animal cruelty. I wasn't ready to face that. Mm-hmm. So I knew a little dishes I wanted to try to make, and I knew it would be a pretty easy transition just because it just seemed like the food was always fun, like from what I was following on YouTube and Snapchat or my Instagram stories. People who were making vegan food, they actually made it look really cool. So I think the first meal I made was something like a Gardein chicken, those chicken strips. Mm-hmm. And we had chicken strips, and I believe like something regular, just like French fries or something. And when he came home, I'm like, great, this is vegan. He's like, this tastes pretty good. I'm like, yeah, so I'm no longer cooking meat. Like, so get used to this because I'm not cooking meat. And he wasn't going for it. He said, no, he's still going to eat meat. And he still would eat meat. And I wouldn't. And it really blew his mind because he's like, you're really not eating any meat. No. We would go to his mother's house. They would eat it. I would say no. And he's like, okay, she's serious. Wow. Like, she's not eating meat. So I just started to watch more videos, and I just started cooking, and I've never cooked until I was vegan.
Mm-hmm. I can relate.
So pre-vegan, I didn't care to be in the kitchen. I'd throw something together or just go out to eat. But mm-hmm. now that I'm vegan, I enjoy being in the kitchen. I enjoy making my own food. I don't have to go out to a restaurant. I actually just prefer to make it myself. But he's tasted the food, and it blows his mind that it's all vegan and it tastes that good.
Yeah, I mean, he had everybody around last Thanksgiving singing his song, his Thanksgiving song. Yes. So that is so dope how you inspire him, not only because I'm sure he was a musician before this, right? He was a rapper before.
Oh, yeah, he's been
this.
A musician, since he was like 16, probably 13, let him tell it. But you know, like a teenager, you know how they always say, I've been rapping since I was 4. But he's been a musician forever. In him making that video, it was so funny because we were in the house one day and the You Name It challenge came on and we were all laughing about what she was saying. And he was just like, yeah, I'm going to spit something over this. And I'm like, OK, I didn't think nothing of it. And then one day he hopped in the car and he did. And he was like, did you see my video? And this was before it went viral. And I was just like, you are so crazy. It's just another day to me, you know, because he does this all the time. Mm-hmm. But his phone was going off like crazy. And I'm like, hold on. Like, I think you did something now because your phone is like blinking nonstop. And when I guess when we saw like Russell Simmons retweeted, Jermaine Dupri, PETA, that's when I got excited. I'm like, do you realize PETA retweeted it? He's like, no, but do you realize Russell Simmons? I'm like, no. PETA retweeted it. Like, I love PETA. We have to reach out to them. And we reached out to them just with a thank you and saying we're coming to LA. Actually, we would like to come to the office. And that's how everything kicked off with me being able to work alongside of them for all the animal protests that I've been doing.
That's like really, really exciting how that video, it sounds like it changed our lives.
It did. It changed our lives. And that's the thing. I introduced him to the vegan lifestyle. He did the amazing rap, which introduced me to PETA, which has now me working with them on several projects. And he's still able to rap and promote veganism and make it cool. And people that look like us are interested because before it wasn't cool to be a vegan if you weren't white or if you weren't rich or if you weren't a hippie. Yep. They just thought they're boring. Yep. So here we are, young, black, into hip hop music.
Nice looking people too. Like, oh, y'all are nice looking people, so that helps.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. But it definitely has more people, you know, interested in like, oh, wow, I want to learn about this veganism thing. And I mean, our inbox is flooding with people interested in recipes and how did we do it and they want to try it. It's just, I mean, we've been getting such great feedback from so many people concerning this vegan lifestyle and vegan diet.
That's amazing. That is so crazy. So I want to talk about PETA because we both actually, before we recorded, we realized that we lived near PETA. We grew up near PETA. So I have to talk about that. But before we do, I want to talk about a little bit more about the process of experimenting in the kitchen, because I know that that's a hurdle for a lot of people. Me and you, like we said, we can relate to that because we didn't really cook before. How did you get over like the feeling of like, okay, I have to cook my food now. Where do I start? You know, I like how you started with Gardein, something that was super simple and good, so that it gave you, like, it sounds like the confidence to keep going. So what are some of your favorite dishes? So two-part question. What are some of your favorite dishes, and how did you feel confident enough to get in the kitchen and keep going?
Okay, two of my favorite dishes, I make an amazing coconut curry chickpea stew with potatoes over rice. That is delicious. And I make an amazing sausage gravy and biscuits dish. Sausage that gravy. Is just, it is so good.
That's so country.
I know, right? But it's so good. I can't even believe I'm able to still make it and enjoy it as I did before. And it's so much healthier and it's so much better for me. And it's cruelty free. So I absolutely love it. Yeah. Now, when I got in the kitchen, I don't know, something just came over me and knowing that I was vegan. It was like a power in knowing what I'm putting in my body. Mm-hmm. In every spice, everything that I would put in my food, it's like, okay, I know what this is. Like, I can read this. I can pronounce this. I know what this is going to do to me versus just going out and eating and having no idea what people have put in my food. So I feel so powerful when I'm in the kitchen making dishes. Because I know I'm feeding myself and Gray like the best. Even I grocery shop different.
Yeah.
You know, like I get the premium quality everything for us. Mm-hmm. Even when it comes to water, just products in general, from health and beauty products, just everything. It's like, this is what's going in my body. I don't care the price. I care enough about myself and my family. So I'm going to make sure we have the best. And that's just, it's just a powerful feeling. And that's just how I do it.
That is empowering for sure. I love that.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about PETA Okay, let me give you a little backstory. I grew up in Virginia Beach and I thought PETA, I thought vegans were crazy. Like you, I thought they were boring, mean, hungry, and crazy. So I never thought I would be a vegan, especially because I grew up so close to PETA's headquarters. And I thought that
I would see so much, extreme stuff going on around town. I would see them throw paint on people. I would see them throw paint on buildings and just act a fool. So yeah. I never thought I would be a part of this community. So what was your experience? Because I know you grew up in Newport News, which is right down the street from PETA's headquarters. I grew up in Virginia Beach. So you would probably, did you see any of the stuff that I saw? How did that look when you were growing up there?
You know what? I didn't know anything about PETA growing up in Newport News.
What?
I never, let me tell you, that's what I'm telling you. I never heard of PETA. I didn't know what PETA stood for. I didn't know anything about animal rights. I didn't even know you could protest animal rights. Like, I had no idea. If you were to ask me what I wanted to be, like I said, I wanted to work with animals. Like, I love animals. That was, like, far as it was. I had no idea I could do something like this. So when I found out, I think I found out about PETA like 5-6 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And when I found out about them, I'm like, okay, PETA is the people for the ethical treatment of animals. So everybody that works for PETA loves animals. They're doing what they can to fight animal rights. I'm like, I definitely need to be part of this. So further research, I started watching videos. And yes, I saw the videos where they were throwing paint on people. And I'm like, whoa, These people are kind of in your face. But the older I got, and I sit back and I watch it. Now, I'm not saying, throw paint on people, because I wouldn't personally do that. I just like a more peaceful protest. But when people are telling me some of the stuff PETA does is so in your face, and then I drive down the highway and I see Chick-fil-A billboard, that's pretty in my face.
Mm.
So I started to say, like, okay, it's in your face because it's a reality of what's going on. And that's just sometimes is a reality we don't want to face. So whenever it's a reality we don't want to face, it's easy to say they're so in your face when they do their protests. So that's what I've learned and took from just being here and working with them, that the in your face is not that bad, because I see a lot of times from commercials, magazines, where it's burgers and soda and junk food, and it's everywhere you turn, but we don't complain about that being in our face.
I never thought about it like that, but you're absolutely right. That's exactly how it is. It's like we don't it's easy to say because we're so used to seeing those things that that we don't think anything of. I'm used to seeing burgers on TV, so I don't question
it.
Yeah, that's so true. How does it look? Because I feel like most of the people, maybe I'm wrong to assume this, but it feels like most of the people who work for PETA do not look like us. How does it feel to be one of the faces of this organization? And I feel like it's underrepresented for sure. Like, I don't really feel like people look like us are a part of PETA.
Right, and that's the thing. So when I went to the PETA office last year, it was my first time going to the PETA office. I had never met anyone that worked for them. I would just see the videos they would make online. And sometimes they would do like the celebrity endorsements where they would go naked, saying they don't wear fur. But I had never personally met a person who works for PETA. And just to clarify, I'm an independent contractor with PETA. So I haven't been hired on board with the organization as of yet, keeping my fingers crossed. But yes, that's what I'm hoping. But so when we went to the PETA office in LA, as I walked in, I think I saw two people that looked like me. Everyone else, maybe like 15, 20 other people, no one looked like me. And sometimes I was just like, I don't really see anyone that kind of looks like me. I don't belong here, but I'm like, maybe I'm not what they're looking for. That's kind of what I thought. Maybe I'm just not what they're looking for. And in meeting all the people, everyone was super nice. We all had the same, we're on the same page as far as what we want to see done with the animals, the cruelty that's going on. So it's like, we were really bonding because we care about the animals. However, they didn't look like me. So when I reached out to them to do the protest of Universal Soul Circus, they responded with, yeah, we would love to have you on board. And I started to do that. And even in doing that, I had so many people coming up to me saying, you work with PETA. They only hired you for the Universal Soul Circus because it's a black circus and you're black.
Wow.
And I'm like, if you think about it, the Universal Soul Circus is geared towards urban communities and people that look like myself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know anything about marketing, you would say, if we're going to go into an inner city, why would we show up with 20 white old women to say, don't go to the circus?
Yeah.
It's more relatable when I show up because I'm you, you're me. We live in this community. They're bringing this circus to our community, harming animals, and we don't need to be part of it. So I'm being that voice to say, look, I look just like you.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why I do it. And that's why I'm glad they asked me to do it, because I've never seen a black woman out fighting animal rights or stuff like that. And there probably is some that do it. I just never seen it. So I never had no one to look up to or point to and say, or aspire to be her. So in me, I'm hoping young black women, little girls see me and say, oh, you could actually fight animal rights. Like, that's a thing. It is a thing. And they need us, and they need more people like us, because when I go out to these protests, like the one I'll go to tonight, 9 times out of 10, I may run into one other black girl, and it'll be 15 to 20 of us there.
Wow.
And I know black people care about animals. I know I'm not the only one.
Well, yeah,
it's just
you're
they
not.
Probably don't even know about it. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. I didn't know about it because it really wasn't shown in my community that you go out and fight for animal rights. So that's just why I'm trying to fill that gap and bring a little more diversity to the whole idea of a black woman standing out here saying animals don't need to be hurt, animals have rights too. And some people look at me like I'm crazy, but I'm a true animal lover.
Yes.
And I don't want to see any of them hurt.
So I think another reason why a lot of us don't really see ourselves in this situation is because we have so many, I feel like I say this a lot on the podcast, but we have so many other things going on within the black community. So
yes.
Worrying about animals to a lot of us is just like, and like that, I don't have time to worry about no damn animals, because I have, you know, worry about whether or not my son is going to come home tonight after being out. You know what I mean? That type of, that type of attitude. So what do you say about, what do you say about that? How do you feel about the fact that a lot of people don't feel as though animals are that important? And we need to focus on our communities first.
That's exactly the reaction I've been getting from several people saying black men are getting shot. We're worried if our sons are coming home and you are out here fighting for animal rights. And my thing is to them, at the end of the day, we have to understand you can care about more than one thing.
Yep.
And, you know, me caring about your son coming home, I care about that. Like, I want him to come home. Me caring about the cow getting slaughtered, I don't want him to get slaughtered. So it's not that I'm putting animals over people. That's, you know, that's not what I'm here to do. I'm just here to show people the same empathy you want us to have for you. We just need to have it for everything, because it makes a difference when you care. When you start saying like, well, I don't care about this and I don't care about that, they're killing me and whatever. Like, that's just, it comes from a hurt place. And I know you really don't mean that, but you really feel like there's nothing else you can do. So it's easy to say you don't care about animals and you don't care about this until they stop killing black men, then you'll care. Like, I get that, because I mean, I get to the point where I feel like, what else are we supposed to do? Because they keep killing us. Like, it hurts me that it's happening. Mm-hmm. But in me being hurt, I still don't stop speaking up for animals.
Right.
You know, so I just want people to know it's not that myself or anyone else puts animal life over human life, but we are allowed to care about more than one thing.
Yeah, I noticed that that's like a theme as well. Like, a lot of people feel like you can't talk about more than one thing at a time. And I don't understand that myself either. I'm like, what are you talking about? Injustice, like you said this before we started recording, but like, injustice in one area doesn't mean that you can't care about it across the board, you know?
Exactly.
Injustice is injustice, you know?
Injustice is injustice, and you have to care about it. And my thing is this, when I meet people who have said that, I think I met one person in particular who had said that, and he's like, you know, I'm here for black rights, civil rights. I care about our people. I don't care much about the animals. And I said, well, you know how much power you have in saying you care about black people and their rights, and here I am caring about black people as well as animals. And if we bring that together, we can be powerful. Like, what you have and what I have put together can make a world of difference. But if you shut me out because I only care about animals, you're missing out, because you have no idea the other stuff that affects me and the other stuff that I care about. So we have to stop putting that wall up to push me to the side, or anyone else that's speaking out for animals, to say that we don't care about the cause for, you know, black people and what's going on in America, because we're not blind. We see it. And it hurts a lot of us so bad that we'd rather just be blind to it. But at the end of the day, we still have to keep pushing on, and we have to do what we have to do.
Yes, absolutely. So when you work with PETA and you do your protests, what are you guys doing exactly? Are you, don't tell me, because it's PETA, that's why I'm wondering, what are y'all doing exactly?
So PETA, I absolutely love them. They come up with the most amazing ideas. Sometimes it's hard, in your face, hitting you. It gives you that reality check. But this one, the Universal Circus, they've been using animals in their show, and we know animals in any circus they are being abused, no matter what they say. Because if you just sit back and think, how can an animal perform day in and day out these crazy, ridiculous tricks that aren't even natural to that animal? They're, you know, locked up in cages waiting until it's time to perform. They're locked up in those cages overnight. They're shipped all over the world in small crates. Like, nothing is natural for these animals in the circus. So the zebra is what I'm doing now. I started as a tiger in a cage, and Universal Circus no longer uses the tiger. I could say maybe because they saw me and they were like, let's get rid of the tiger. I don't know. But they don't act like that's what happened. Tiger.
We're going to act like that's what happened, right?
So that's amazing. That was a great big accomplishment. And then they still have zebras. And the zebras have escaped before.
Whoa.
Like, they don't want to be there. They're breaking out, just running down the highway, running down the street. So now they'll body paint me as a zebra. So I'll be, you know, nude, standing at a busy intersection during, you know, like a lunch hour where there's a lot of people. And I'll just stand out there and I'll have a sign that'll either say Universal Circus abuses animals, get animals out of the Universal Circus, or animals don't belong in the circus, they belong in the wild. And I'll have a team with me and they'll hand out leaflets about the Universal Circus and the cruelty that happens to the animal. And I just stand there peacefully and hold my sign. I don't yell, I don't scream, I don't make anyone feel horrible. If people come up to me and ask me, what am I doing? I tell them, you know, I'm protesting Universal Circus is in town this weekend and we're encouraging people not to go until they lose the animals. And some people, most people are saying they didn't even know the Universal Circus had the animals.
Yeah,
and that's because they don't put it on their website. They don't promote it on their flyer, nor do they put it on their IG or their Facebook. So they're not promoting the animals. But once you go to the show, you do see them. So, and knowing you still have amazing ticket sales without promoting the animals, that's kind of letting you know you don't even really need them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping with every city that they go to, I follow them. I have 4 cities coming up. And I'm just hoping they'll say, look, let's let the animals go. Like, we don't need them. And that's the end result. I had a wonderful message from a lady on Instagram. She hit me this morning, actually, and she said, my husband wants to take the kids to the Universal Circus. I mentioned to him that I follow you and Gray, and I told him how horrible it was, and we're not going to go. And she just wanted to thank me because she had no idea about the abuse with the animals. And it made me feel so good because in the moments that I protest, people still walk into the circus. And in knowing I did this one, I've been doing it since February, and she sent me that message today. That was the first message I received like that. It's like everything that I'm doing is paying off,
yes.
Even in that one message. And she's actually in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'll be in Raleigh next week protesting. So she's going to come out with me to the protest.
Nice.
And I just, yes, it was such an amazing feeling when she sent me that message because, like, sometimes I'm like, really? I'm just out here taking pictures, media comes, but are people not going to the circus? Like, do they really care? So that one message lets me know somebody cares. And even when I think they're not looking, people are looking, people are listening. And when they're ready to receive what I have to say, they'll receive it.
So, so true. I want to talk about, too, let's quickly talk about why, as far as the cruelty with animals, I really want to talk about what's the difference. Because you know how, okay, people understand, okay, they shouldn't eat animals. It's not necessary to eat animals. I think a lot of people understand that on the surface, right? The most basic level, they get that, right? But I think a lot of people have a hard time understanding why, you know, animals in captivity is an issue. Why going to the zoo is a problem. Why going to the circus is a problem. Talk about a little bit about why that's an issue. Why should we care about animals being held captive?
Yeah, so animals in captive, we know if you're going to go see animals in a circus, we know they're trained to do tricks. And like I said, these are things that are unnatural to them. So when you even think of your dogs or your pets in the house, sometimes for you to train them, most people say, if my dog pees on the floor, I put his nose in it and I spank him. For a lot of people, they do that and they believe that's a form of training their dog not to use the bathroom. So in knowing they'll do that to a dog, now you're dealing with the elephant or a zebra. What ways do you think they would get them to listen and to do tricks? It'll have to come from either starving them, from beating them, breaking down their spirit, ripping the babies from their mother, and the mothers are left there to just mourn in misery for the rest of their life. And when you go to the circus and you see these animals climbing a tightrope, like when people want to take their kids for educational reasons to learn about animals, your child, an animal does not walk on a tightrope.
Mm-hmm.
So we know it's for entertainment. So that's why we say animals are not here for our entertainment. And then when you go to the zoo, if you see those animals day in and day out sitting in those same spots with cameras flashing in their face, people banging on the glass, like that's not a life no one wants to live. Mm-hmm. So I just ask us to like just take a minute and put ourselves in their position. Yes, they're animals and we are humans, but we don't like to be annoyed all day. So we can walk away. The animals can. And I tell people to go to a sanctuary. If you want your kids to really be hands-on and learn about animals, go to these sanctuaries where animals have escaped slaughter, where people have got these animals out of slaughter, because you're able to be up and close and personal with them. They're living out the rest of their life on land where they don't have to perform and do anything. These places aren't open 7 days a week. They may be open twice a week. It's just a place for the animals to get away from what they've had to endure for as long as they've been, you know, alive. Mm-hmm. So I encourage sanctuaries. I would recommend you do not support the zoos. You do not support the circus. And just don't even fairs. Anything that has to do with having animals, having to ride their back, taking pictures, making them do weird things. That's just not what an animal does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's like this level of respect that we don't have for animals overall, I think. We just and I don't think it's intentional a lot of times. I think it's just we just don't really think about it. And that's why I love that you're talking about it. Yeah.
That's the thing. I don't think we think about it either, because this black is an animal. Like, he's cute. I want to get a picture with him. And, you know, we do realize half the time you take pictures with animals, they're either drugged up so they can kind of just stay still and take pictures. And don't get me wrong, there are zookeepers and people that love animals. But at the end of the day, we know being trapped in a cage when an animal, think of the orca, they swim 100 miles a day, mm-hmm. and they're stuck in a small swimming pool. Like, you know, so you have to just kind of learn a little more about an animal to understand how it just breaks its spirit to be in captivity like that.
Definitely. Before we wrap up, I want to know some tips that you can give us for people who are thinking about transitioning to a vegan lifestyle. I know you have plenty. So what tips do you have?
Okay, this was like my number one tip. Like, take the whole word vegan out of it. Because I think when you say I'm a vegan, you're so afraid of messing up that you get overwhelmed and you just mess up. Just start to look at the food that you're picking. And I always say read the ingredients. So just as simple as that. If you can't pronounce it, let's start there. Like, don't get it. If it has milk, don't get it. You know, when you make your meals, if it has meat, don't eat it. And just from there, start to build meals around everything except the meat. Because I found a lot of times when people say I'm vegan and it's like, well, what do vegans eat? Like, you already know what to eat, because coming from an American standard diet, you usually have a meat and two sides. So start with your two sides and throw something else in there. And if you mess up one day, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Do better the next day. If you mess up in breakfast, that's okay. Do better for lunch. Don't beat yourself up and hold yourself to, I thought I was a vegan, because it doesn't have to be there. Serious, you will get there. Everyone's journey is going to be different. And for vegans that are already out there, you know, don't be so judgy and pushy on people who are trying, because for some people, they have never heard of vegan before. Mm-hmm. This is so new to them. And we can't beat those people up. We have to meet them where we are. And we have to help them. And if we can't be too pushy, but when they're ready, they will come to us, because they come to me.
Yeah.
I don't push my views on people, but I always stand true in who I am. Mm-hmm. And I just want people to know, for a lot of people, this is brand new to them. They've been living a certain way for 20-something, 30, 40-plus years, and it's not going to happen overnight, and they will mess up. And we can't beat them up and say, you can't eat that. It has milk. It has an egg. You just give them advice, and they'll make a better decision next time.
I agree with that. You know, another thing that I was just talking about this earlier. I really don't like when people tell you not to do this, don't do this, don't do this, and then they don't give you solutions. It's like, girl, leave me alone.
Yeah.
They're like, don't.
Exactly.
I can't. It drives me crazy. So instead of, you know, being rude to people and making them feel awful, it's like, okay, what can you do to make it better? Which is why they come to you, Nikki, because you don't come for them like that. You know, you don't go to them that way. Yeah.
Yes, but you know, that's not even my style. Like, get to know me. I'm like homegirl fun. I'm just like, no, girl, don't eat that. Do that. Well, next week, don't, you know, like, mm-hmm. I'm working with you, because I understand it's a process and everyone's not going to do it cold turkey like I did.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But the end result is to get there.
Yes.
And that's all I want people to do, is get there, have an open mind, take what I will never give up meat. I will never give up my chicken wings. Like, let all that go. Because the time you let that stuff that you thought you would never give up, like a whole new world opens up to you. And just be open into accepting that and seeing what's really out there. And if you're doing it for ethical reasons only, perfect. That's great. You have people that do it for health reasons and they don't even want to eat sugar. Everyone's journey is going to be different. Don't try to compete with the next vegan. Don't try to be like the next vegan. Do what works for you and your family. And the end result, you'll help the animals if you stop eating meat anyway.
Either way. So. Yes, I love it. That is exactly how I feel. I love it. I am so glad that we finally connected this way.
Me too.
We have so much in common. I didn't even realize that until we got on here. But I'm just so excited to see where you're going to be like in the next 2-3 years from now. Because, I mean, you and Gray are doing big things now. And it's so dope to see all of it happen on social media.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Tell us how we can reach you and also tell us about your t-shirt line.
Okay, yeah. You can reach me if you're into animal rights and all that stuff. I'm on IG at Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, the number 4, the PPL. And you can reach me if you're into cooking, transitioning into vegan. I make some of the most delicious meals, and that is Chef Nikki in the Mix. The t-shirt. Yes.
I love that.
Chef Nikki in the Mix. I should have had Gray in the background doing it, but he's not around. And the t-shirt, you can find us at Plant Based Dripping, and that's D-R-I-P-P-I-N. That's our t-shirt line. And Gray is official, graymusic.com. And he just released his EP last week.
Nice.
So that's on iTunes, on Google Play, Spotify. Check that out. Purchase that. Support us. Definitely. And this has been an amazing journey. And we're just excited to reach out to more people and change more lives.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'll make sure that I put all of Nikki's links and Gray's links on the blog post at brownvegan.com for this episode. So check it out. It was such a pleasure, Nikki. Thank you so much for being
on.
It was
so nice. Thank you so much.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.